Matt, I reckon you do the intro this week.
Me?
Yeah, you go for the catchphrase. See how you go.
Okay, welcome everyone to the NRL Fantasy Podcast.
Mate, what about the G'day Footy fans?
But that's your saying. That's not mine.
No, I reckon it's an OTL thing. I reckon you go for it.
Okay,
let's... your best.
I'll give it a go, eh? G'day Footy fans. This is Liam from the NRL Fantasy Podcast by Out of Their League. So, Byron, did you have a good weekend?
Nailed it. The iconic saying.
I tried my best.
What's more iconic, do you reckon? The guitar riff at the start or the G'day Footy fans?
I think the G'day Footy fans. I think that really gets people pumped and excited for the pod.
It does, man. It's catching on. Sorry, I forgot what you asked me there.
So, how was your weekend? I think there were some massive scores and there was a few big key players that missed out with, obviously, Ponga, Turbo and Teddy. But there was a lot of 1,000-plus scores.
There was huge scores floating around, particularly some of our listeners that interact with us on a weekly basis. They absolutely blew us off the park. Some 1,100-plus scores, as you said. I wasn't as lucky. I never thought I'd say this, but only scoring 1,022. Actually, my rank come out about 34 spots, just inside the top 200 now. And you're right, in terms of the wing fullback position, it was a bit of a fiasco there. I managed to get 17 on the park. How did you go?
Yeah, I did well, just scoring above that 1,033, and my rank come in nicely from just over 1,000 to 985. So I'm in that top 1,000 where I wanted to be at this stage after the representative period. And hopefully now my goal is, since I'm already here, is to consolidate that position and hopefully get in the top 750 by round 25.
It's amazing. The goal was the top 1,000 last week. Now it's 750.
Yeah, you never know. Top 500 in a couple of weeks.
We'll have to keep track of Liam's goal there. Mate, we've got plenty of players to go through this week. Obviously, now the representative period is behind us. People are finalising their teams. A lot of the big guns have come back onto the marketplace and people are getting around them. Do you want to take us through who are the most popular buyers this week?
Yep. So who's hot? DCE. So we'll kick things off with him after that impressive score over the weekend of 72 points. I know we were concerned previous weeks we mentioned about Cade Cust taking his attacking stats from him. But he didn't show any signs last weekend.
He must have taken offense, I think.
Yeah, he did. It might have gave him a bit of fire in his belly.
It might have. He's an avid listener. It certainly got him in the mood. And yeah, 72 points. I think he's a tick under 700,000 now. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep, 690.
Yeah, so he's looking good. And I can understand people getting behind him. Put it this way, I'd much rather have him than Luke Brooks, who's currently on my team.
Yeah, and that was his biggest score as well since returning from injury, which is good. And now with the origin period all over, it's probably the perfect time to pick him up. Next, we had Damien Cook. Now, surprisingly, I was looking at some stats, and he's currently the ninth most owned NRL fantasy player who has the third highest average. Now, that surprised me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people toy with leaving him out to start the year because he starts the year at such a high price, thinking they'll be able to pick him up cheaper, only to get burnt by missing out on some monster scores. So I think there's a lot of people that just resided to the fact that they weren't going to get him until after the origin period. This is the week and they're all jumping on. I mean, you've got to have Cookie for the run home. If there is a must-have, it's him.
Yeah, there's only a few must-haves and he's one of them. The next one we've got is John Bateman. So this was his biggest score since his injury return, 68 points, and now he's got a five-game average of 54. I know a few coaches have been restless, especially around being Nakora and Cherry owners. If you want to upgrade to someone, he's got to be your man.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he had a couple of 39s in a row there, but those games did involve him shifting out to an edge. They had an injury to Jordan Rapana on at least one of those games, which did seem spend quite a bit of time at centre there, which isn't optimal for his scores. He was outstanding against the Dragons on Sunday night. He's at a really good price now, I think in the high 600,000s, around that 680. So yeah, if you've got the funds to move on some of the guys that I'll go through in a moment to get John Bateman, he's not going to let you down.
And considering he was just a tad over 800,000 just a few months ago, yeah, that's a discounted pickup. Next, we've got Tommy Turbo. So he returns after a well-earned rest after game 3. He's only played 5 games, but holds a mouth-watering average just below 60. And that's even especially more impressive because he did come off injured in one of those games.
Yeah, he's obviously got that 100 in there as well, which certainly brings things up a little bit. A lot of people would have been cursing Desi last week, considering that we had a real shortage in that wing fullback position. So it wasn't great timing, but I think if you are an owner, it's probably going to pay off for the rest of the year, given that he's going to come into this little period leading up to the finals pretty fresh and high on confidence as well, coming out of a successful Origin series. I unfortunately don't think I'll be able to get Tommy Turbo into my team, but he's the sort of player that can pull something out late in a round to win you a head-to-head. He's got that really high ceiling, so I really like that buy this week.
Now, most of the plays I'm rattling off in the Who's Hot are premium plays, and you would expect that at this time of the season because people want to put that final piece of the jigsaw and have a finalized team around this time or getting close to this week. However, there is one cash cow in the list, and correct me if I mispronounce his name, because you know I'm pretty bad at names at times. Arenof Tuamanga?
Tuamanga, I think it is.
Very close there. That's actually a good score for me getting that.
I'm very impressed. Continue.
Priced at $241,000, he plays for your beloved Bulldogs. He's got that dual position status, so second row forward slash center, which is very handy, especially as an emergency player, with a break even of 7. So he played over the weekend from the interchange and scored 32 points in 35 minutes, which consisted of 23 tackles. So he's back on the interchange this weekend for the Bulldogs. Looking at his New South Wales Cup stats, he's had 10 games where he has had 35 tackle breaks. So that's pretty encouraging.
Yeah, and I think you can put that down to he's got really good late footwork at the line, has the ability, as you just mentioned, to break a tackle, but also offload the ball. So I've been a big fan of Tuamanga for a number of years, watching him play in the lower grades, and he can also find the line for a try as well. So he's not your stock standard barge up the middle front row forward. He's got a bit of skill about him. I don't mind this one. I mean, you mentioned him as a cash cow. You're probably not going to have enough trades to bring him in, milk the cash, take him back out again. But if you're looking to free up cash with a cheapie, but someone that's also going to provide you coverage from the bench, he's got that dual position status. So if you do lose a second rower or a center midway through the game, he will come in. And with Tolman looking like he's going to miss anywhere between 1 and 3 weeks if surgery isn't required, his spot looks good, particularly because he really impressed in that game against the Knights and they got the win. I think that bodes well for his job security.
So he is a player that I'm looking to trade in, actually, because I'm looking to get a point of difference, smaller player. You might have heard of him, Tedesco.
That'd be very clever. Yeah,
I'm trying to get him in my squad, as I have been for the last 17 weeks. I'm finally trading out Watson because his time's done, trading in Tuamanga.
Yep.
And yep, correct there. And I'm looking to bring in him to free some cash up so then I can get Teddy. So he's one that I'll be trading in exactly as you said.
Sounds like a plan.
Next, we've got Jake Friend. Now, didn't he return with a bang from injury?
You're not wrong. I think 72 points off the interchange. Just got straight back to work. We've seen in prior years and prior games that he certainly has one of the best work rates in the NRL, so he wouldn't disappoint as a bench hooker option. I mean, you just want to get as many of those guys in your team, don't you? Your McInnes's, your Cooks, your Smiths. He's right up alongside those guys.
So he's only played 4 games this season. I actually looked at his stats this year, and he's only scored under 65 points once, and that was the game he was injured and came off earlier in the game. So he's got an impressive fantasy game this season.
Yeah, I think he'd be a really nice pod. If you plan to go all the way up to now and maybe bring in a McInnes this week, have a little look at Friend and do a bit of a comparison in terms of their ownership. And it might be just the point of difference you need to get the leg up on an opponent or climb the extra ranks.
Next, we've got Jazz Tavanga. So he's a player that I know you own, which I'm sure you'll be talking about shortly. But
love this bloke.
What ongoing ankle injury?
Yeah.
He plays 90 minutes, 82 points with an astonishing 72 tackles.
I mean, we just spoke about Jake Friend and his work rate, but what about Jazz Tavanga? Unbelievable. All in base, just doesn't stop. He's like the Energizer Bunny out there, and I'm hoping he can continue that output at least until round 21 when Tohu Harris is expected to return. Would you be buying him this week? I picked him up 2 weeks ago. I'm pretty happy about that. I'd be thinking twice about it now, though. I'm not sure. I'm not saying he's not a buy, but I just, yeah, it doesn't.
I think if you've got enough trades up your sleeve, you could pick him up this week. And then after this week, the ship would have sailed. But as we know, most of us don't have the luxury of having 7, 8 trades up our sleeves at this stage of the season.
That's really is, isn't it? It just comes down to those trades, how many you've got left. I think if you are bringing him in, you have to plan that potentially you will have to move him on again. So at least keep a couple of trades up your sleeves if that was to happen. But I mean, getting through that sort of work, I'm sure he's impressing Kearney. So it'd be amazing if he kept that spot. He'd be a keeper right through to the end.
And he's got a break even of 9 this week. So he looks like to make some decent money if he can get a 50 to 55 score again this weekend, which isn't outside of what his capabilities are. Next, we've got Cameron McInnes. So much like Cook, he's actually stat surprised me a bit as well. So he's actually not in the top 15 most popular players owned in NRL fantasy. However, he does possess the 6th highest fantasy average.
Yeah, so he's year on year one of those reliable options. I think a lot of the top teams have Cameron McInnes though. So I think if you're in the sort of top 300-400 and you haven't got McInnes, I'd probably be looking at a Jake Friend, particularly given the fact that they come off a loss against the Cowboys last week and he's back starting at hooker this week, given that he's not played the NRL that he normally will have by this stage of the season. I think he's the pick, but both guys, you can't really go wrong.
Yeah, the only reason I was really surprised about his ownership was he didn't play Origin and he had that round 16 availability. I thought he would have been a really hot player, say, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, a lot of people actually got concerned about Reece Robson being on the bench at one stage as well. And maybe people are just losing faith in the Dragons. Amazingly, they're only 2 points ahead of my Bulldogs on the ladder at the moment. So I actually didn't realize that until after last weekend when I had a little Bo Peep there and sent a cheeky text message to a few of my mates. Didn't get a reply. Surprise, surprise. We've got a few Dragons fans in our head-to-head league. But yeah, look, it is a surprise. We're both McInnes owners. You've captained him a couple of weeks. I know you're a huge fan. But if you didn't own him or Jake Friend, who would you be going with this week?
McInnes for me. Now, next we've got Anthony Milford. So I know this will pain you that I'm mentioning him.
Severely.
So a lot of coaches, like yourself, thought he sustained a long-term knee injury in round 15. However, he miraculously recovered after being rested for 1 week. And he returned over the weekend, played the full 90 minutes in the fullback position and really showed no signs of that knee issue. He scored a scintillating 99 points from base stats, which included over 200 running meters, 11 tackle busts, and a massive 580 kick meters. That's the one that really, I think, got his points going.
You know I love a good kick, man. Yeah, I know. So you can imagine having traded Milford a couple of weeks ago, I obviously got the news that it was likely he was only going to miss 1 week before lockout. So I actually texted you and said, should I reverse my trade mid-round? And we went back and forth on it for a little while. And ultimately, I decided to continue with the trade that I had locked in just on the basis that I thought even if he does get back out on the field and he's heavily strapped, he might be really impeded by that injury. The Broncos aren't going really well. But anyway, in true NRL fantasy gods fashion, they've punished me for that trade out. And look, I can't bring myself to bring him back into my side. But given that he's going to be racking up the run meters from fullback, breaking tackles, as well as doing a lot of that long kicking, he does those big spiral torpedoes. Yeah, he's made for NRL fantasy at fullback.
And it'll be interesting if the NRL Fantasy official site updates his positional status to dual position. That will make non-owners very tempted then.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that he will. I think the week that they were getting changed was this week.
Oh.
Scheduled in there. So you might have to shoot Chris Kennedy or the loan scout a message just to clarify that. But I think he just misses out. But nonetheless, even in the halves, he's looking fantastic. Now, before I jump into the who's not list and who everyone is trading out this week, you've been fired up all week, Liam, because you've got a new segment on the podcast. I'm happy to throw it to you now if you like, if you want to take us through it. But it's Liam's Unlikely Lad, and essentially it's a performance every week that maybe we weren't expecting, a bit of a standout where someone goes above and beyond their average or breaks some poor form. Obviously, we're only talking really about all the popular players each week, so this will bring into the frame a couple of other players here and there. And who have you got this week, Liam? Who's stood out to you as your player of the week?
So this weekend was Dylan Edwards for the Panthers. Now, he scored a 96-point haul against the Titans, which included over 200 running meters and 12 tackle breaks. In his opening five games this year, he had an average of 20.6. However, in his last five games, he's got an average of 50.2. So I think he's definitely worth a special mention this weekend.
Oh, for sure. He's more than doubled his output, hasn't he? And I think we talked at length about him and Mansour and a couple of others at the Panthers at the start of the year, talking about how poorly they'll bring the ball out of their own end, but they've really turned it around. And it's no surprise that the Panthers are winning back-to-back games, I think six in a row, since they've turned around their individual form.
As you sort of mentioned, in round five or six, you wouldn't be caught with a Panthers backline player. And now there's To'o, Naden, Mansour. They're all coming up now, coinciding obviously with their run of form.
Yeah, definitely. We've got a question about To'o later as well, so we'll chat a little bit more about him. So let's have a look at who people are selling this week. And number one on the list is Bronson Cherry. So he's got a break even of 52 this week, which is about 16 points above his average. So if you need the cash to go to Bateman, then he looks like the man to go.
Yeah, Nakora for me would be the keeper, and I'd be selling Cherry.
Funny you mention him. He's number two on the list, Britton Nakora. So this is an interesting one. I'm keen to get your thoughts. I think we've got differing opinions on this one potentially. But as an owner that's holding, I really hope this sell trend continues. He's unquestionably in a form slump, but so are the Sharks as a whole, I think it's fair to say. But with their roster, I'm tipping them to bounce back sooner rather than later, and I think it could start this weekend against the Warriors. He still has the second best average for a center, and he's a clear hold for me, but he has scored 30s in the last three games. Has that got you agreeing with a lot of these coaches that he's a sell for me? Definitely not, but I know you've considered it.
He's not a sell for me now, just because I've got limited trades. So with that dual position capability, that's very handy for your squad till the end of the year when you do have limited trades.
So you've seen the light. I'm glad to see.
I have seen the light.
Next on the list, we've got Michael Morgan. So he picked up a nasty head knock in Origin 3, as you know. He sat out last week as a result due to that sort of short turnaround, and he missed out on his team's miraculous win there against the Roosters, which was led by Jake Clifford. He would have had to have been close to being Liam's unlikely lad this week. Was he a contender as well?
He was definitely a contender. It's always hard to choose one.
Absolutely. It's a prestigious list there. So I'm sure we'll be getting plenty of DMs from NRL players making their case to make the list.
Yeah, disputing it.
Absolutely. Well, back to Morgan. Look, he missed that game. He's on an extended bench this week, but given that he averages in that mid-40s range, and there's so many good halves on offer this week, isn't there? Mitchell Moses, Reynolds, DCE, even Cleary returning. I think if you can go to any one of those guys, I think it's a decent trade-out option.
And I'm glad you brought up Mitchell Moses, because I didn't actually bring him up because he's not actually one of the top trade-in targets this weekend, but he's definitely worth a shout. I think he doesn't get enough mention and enough attention.
Maybe it's the past seasons that are haunting him a little bit, because he has been so inconsistent in the past, but he's doing absolutely everything. And if you are considering a half this week, I think I've got him and Milford as the one and two picks. You've only got to look at Mitch Moses's form at Bank West and then his run home and how many games he's got there. I think he's a great buy this week. I think he should be on that who's hot list, but not to be. If you're having a listen and you've got the opportunity to bring him in, have a little look and let us know what you think.
And I think that's an important point that you raise about looking at the fixtures as well, about players who you might be toying with, one or two, and you don't know who to pick. Look at their fixtures. Look at their run home.
Definitely. Not so much with the forwards, although it does come into calculations, but definitely with the backs and particularly playmakers. So, for example, the Melbourne Storm, although Munster's being rested this week, they've got the Titans again before the finals as well. So he could go absolutely crazy. And I think it's worth noting those games and that are going to be friendly towards their style of play. It's a really good point. Next on the list, we've got a dummy half that's been an amazing servant all year. And that's Reid Marnie. So I started the year with him. I sold him a number of weeks back now, but I was really impressed with what I got out of him in terms of points and cash. But obviously, there's a lot of people going to Cook this week. As you mentioned in your list, it makes sense that he'd be one of those guys to go.
Yeah, upgrading to someone like a Smith, Cook, even a Friend.
Yeah, Friend, absolutely good shout. I mean, you could have ended up keeping him as a last reserve or something like that, but unfortunately, he's not getting the full 80 minutes. I think he's only played 80 minutes once in his last three games. So they're bringing him off in the final sort of 10 minutes or so, giving him a bit of a spell. But for someone like Marnie, that could be 8 to 10 points. So it's a big step backwards for sure. So I agree with that sell. Next, we've got one of the struggling Dragons. So Jacob Host has popped up on the Who's Not list. He had a nice little run of four games there where he was playing 80 minutes and averaging a tick under 50. But the troops returned for the Dragons on Sunday at Wynn Stadium there against the Raiders. And this seen him score a single digit in just 25 minutes of game time. So he looks like a prime cash out this week.
Yeah, he's perfect time to sell and to upgrade.
Next guy we've got is another outside back coming from the Melbourne Storm, and that's Ryan Pappenhausen. So the fact that he's playing in a Storm team that has rested a number of their Origin stars this week and he's coming up against the Titans, this would ordinarily make for mouth-watering reading, but Bellamy's looking to go with Stimson at 5'8", which is interesting, which obviously keeps Hughes at fullback and Pappenhausen on the bench, where unfortunately he's just not getting the minutes to be fantasy relevant. So if you've got a keeper in mind and you've got Pappenhausen, you need to free up that cash, then I can understand you moving him on.
Yeah, looks a sell now.
Next guy, speaking of people that have had nice little runs there, Connor Watson. So a dream run for about 6 weeks. You jumped on and rode it all the way through, so really well done there. I missed out on this one. Primarily at hooker he was playing, and during that time he was scoring amongst the best in the game.
Even in fullback, as we mentioned before, he hasn't scored many great scores in the fullback position, but he made me eat my words on the weekend and he scored a really good score.
Yeah, he bucked the trend, definitely. He broke plenty of tackles against the Bulldogs despite playing in a losing team, but of course with Ponga and Levi back in the team now, he finds himself in that number 14 jersey, which I think you knew all along was going to happen.
It was always a short shelf life with him.
Yeah, exactly. And given the amount of people that have purchased Tom Turbo this week, I'm guessing a lot of those coaches are moving him on. Next one I really didn't see coming, and that's Angus Crichton. So he was one that I had targeted earlier in the year as a potential fallen gun, given that he came into the side via the bench. I was absolutely convinced that that was going to be a temporary thing there, just given his quality and ability to break a tackle out on an edge. But he's only averaged 45 minutes over the past 3 weeks, and he looks to be behind each of Cordner, Orbo, and Butcher in the pecking order. So he's coming on, playing in the middle. Last week only got 37 minutes and scored 34 points. He's got to go.
He has to go. And it pains me to say, as you know, I picked him up earlier in the season, about round 8 or 9 when he lost some cash.
I remember thinking it was genius at the time as well.
And I think it was priced around the 650 mark. And I thought he'd be a keeper for my squad to around 25. But I had to sell him after about 6 weeks just because he wasn't getting the game time and the points I needed.
Yeah, really surprised me, as I said. And in years gone past, he's been a genuine captain option over the likes of Cameron Smith and guys like that. He's just got that really fantasy friendly game, but he hasn't been able to hit that form or cement the spot at the Roosters that he had there at the Bunnies.
I'm sure we'll cover him at great lengths when we do our NRL fantasy end of year review.
Yeah, he will absolutely feature in that. Last one on the list, Liam, we've got one of my beloved doggies here, and it's Aiden Tolman. He's cropped up on the list. Been a workhorse all year, but he got a really painful rib injury last week, and he's looking at 1 to 3 weeks if no surgery is required. I haven't heard any results from scans or anything of that nature. We'll have to keep an eye out on NRL Physio there, a great resource for injuries week to week. But he's saying if he does require injury, then it could be 3 to 6. So, but I mean, if he's back in a couple of weeks, he's probably a sell anyway, isn't he? Given that his price is about to plummet after a really low score last week, and given that their season's gone, you can't imagine Dean Pay would be rushing him back into that team until he's 100% right.
No, but he's been a great, honest player, reliable player for all owners this season.
Yeah, thank you, Aiden Tolman. So as I said, that's the last one on the list. Mate, we've got a bunch of questions this week coming through socials, which actually surprised me, as some people have stopped playing or they run out of trades, but people are still making moves and they're still sending us through questions. So we're stoked with that. We might go through Twitter first, Liam, if you want to run us through those.
Yeah, so Yorgs needs a cheapie He's looking for someone less than 322,000, ideally a wing fullback or a center to sit in his emergencies. So he's a bit unlucky because I looked at Rapana. He's $2,000 higher than that. He's 324. So
he took it right off the tip of my tongue. That's what I was going to suggest. That's...
So he would have been my first option. But probably for me, I'd probably go to Amunga. He's 240,000. He is center. He's got that dual position capability. And if you get some solid early 30 scores from the interchange, it could be a good little cash cow.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, it's worth mentioning, Sowaso Sue has done his ACL. So he's out for the year. So Tuamanga could be secured on that bench spot for the rest of the season. Another guy that's quite cheap as well, I don't know if he's in the right bracket, but David Fusatua. I mean, he's someone that could come in. He's dropped a stack of cash with Sean Johnson coming out of that team.
Yeah, I think he's about 280, isn't he, around that price?
Oh, okay, so he's out of the range or?
No, he's in the range.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, well, he's potentially one to look at, just given he's got a really high ceiling. If the Warriors go on a bit of a run and they decide to go to him over Marlowe for a change.
You got Smith as well for the Bulldogs.
Remus Smith, yeah, so absolutely.
He starts for the Bulldogs as well. He's priced in the mid-200,000, so he's another option.
Three guys there, I think. Let us know which one you go with.
Brett, so he wants our thoughts on a couple of players. Hopewadi for the Bulldogs, Jake Clifford, Croft, and Friend. So we've already mentioned Jake Friend at length. You're an owner of Brody Croft, so any thoughts on him?
I think Croft will score really well this week because there's no Cameron Munster in the team and they are playing the Titans. But unfortunately, as soon as that sort of combo of Smith and Munster get together in a game, a lot of the tack goes through those guys and not so much Brody Croft. He only got a 45 last week and that included a really nice try as well. So I don't think he's top 17 potential. I bought him in to have a halfback option on my bench for coverage and also to give me an extra number in the bye round. I don't know that I'd bring him in now.
Same as Clifford for me. So Clifford's doing really well, but that's without Michael Morgan. So everything is going through him. And that's why I'm not saying, you could say inflated score over the weekend just due to Michael Morgan not being there. Just depending how long Michael Morgan's going to be out, especially with those consecutive concussions. If it's going to be a long-term thing, it could be worth it, but you never know.
Given that he's named, I think, on the extended bench this week, you'd expect Morgan, if he doesn't play this week, he could be back in the following. But you're right, I think Clifford had probably the game of his life over the weekend. Imagine how stoked he would have been securing the win over, you know, Cooper Cronk as his opposing number there. Big game for him, but it did include a try as well. We've got to keep that in mind. He's not going to score them every week. Yeah, I wouldn't be looking at Clifford either. If it was out of those two, I'd be locking in Croft because I think he can bank on a pretty good score this week.
So the second part to that question is he's got Nikora and he's considering selling him to Bateman or Hopewadi. So for me, obviously, I'd be looking at, if it's out of those two, Bateman.
Yeah, definitely. But I think, look, how does Gus put it? That No. That was a horrendous impersonation there. Liam...
It's very cringeworthy, but yeah, we'll continue.
We'll leave that in there. Look... I wouldn't be trading out Nikora this week. Out of the two, agree with Liam, definitely Bateman, but I'm keeping the faith there.
So Ollie is asking, he's planning to trade out Host and Cherry and looking to bring in a half. Now he was considering Munster or DCE. Now obviously Munster isn't named this weekend. So if it's out of those two, and you need to trade someone in this week and it'll be DC. Any other good options you're thinking? Mitchell Moses?
Yeah, Mitchell Moses.
Reynolds, he's a good player as well, premium halfback. So there's a few options there for him.
The returning Cleary is another one that I really like, just given that the Panthers are on such a good run at the moment. Yeah, I mean, you're sport for choice. But either of those guys, I think they'll probably score within 5 points of each other by the end of the year.
Yeah, and if there isn't any urgency and you could wait another week, you could pick up Munster next week. Lastly, on Twitter, we got Keno. He's still without Cameron Smith, Teddy, and Turbo. He's got 6 trades remaining, and he's got enough in the bank, but he needs a wing fullback. He's asking which one he should prioritize. Now, I think he sort of answered his own question there, where he needs a wing fullback. So I'd be looking at either Teddy or Turbo, and for me, it would be Teddy.
Yeah, lock in Teddy. I think he's probably the best player in the world at the moment. I'm actually considering captaining him one or two times between now and the run home as a bit of a pod. I just think he's going to come out of Origin. He's had a rest. He's going to be fresh. So, yeah, look out. Teddy for some big scores in the next few rounds is my bold prediction.
So, Byron, did you want to take us through Facebook and Instagram?
Yeah, definitely. I'll start with Instagram. So the first question comes in from Jaden, who's asking, with Sean Johnson in doubt, should he trade or hold? Given he was named and he did strap his ankle and get through the remainder of the game over the weekend there against Melbourne Storm, I'd definitely be holding.
Yeah, hold.
Next, we've got Mate Stop, who's asking, Finu for Brown. Nathan Brown's racking up some minutes and some points in his last couple of games there, but I think Finu hanging on to that starting hooker spot, I probably wouldn't be making that move just yet. I know he wasn't amazing last week, but he's still capable of a pretty big score.
I'd be definitely keeping Finu. He scored above 50 on the weekend.
Oh, did he? So I actually thought it was less than that.
No, I think he scored 53 points.
Oh, there you go.
Something like that. So I'll be definitely keeping him and doing what I did with sort of Connor Watson. As soon as Coruscant comes back and he's demoted to the interchange, trade him out then.
Yeah, absolutely. Hugh's asking for our thoughts on Wakeham, who's the young 5'8", partnering Jack Cogger, whilst Kieran Foran comes back from injury. Did get a 40 over the weekend, but he just doesn't have that job security. My understanding is that Kieran Foran isn't far away, so I think there's better cash-out options like your Tua Mungers and guys like that this week.
Yeah, I agree.
We've got F. Trend, who's writing, is Friend a good buy? We've spoken about that at length. Absolutely, he was born for NRL fantasy. Billent is writing, I hope I'm not too late. He's just got this question in, snuck it in.
Well played.
Well, very well played. He's thinking about captaining Jazz Tavunga this week as a nice little pod. I hadn't thought of it, but absolutely love it.
Well, as you've seen, his averages over the last three games, he's been very impressive. And you saw how many tackles he notched up and the amount of minutes he played last week. So why not?
Yeah, I think the danger of Burr being on the bench and taking minutes is a non-factor. So yeah, if you're looking for a nice little pod, then lock him in. Why not?
Yeah, I like it.
Finally, we've got Sam, who's writing, he's got 16 or 17 starting keepers for the run home. He's heading into his head-to-head league finals, and he's wondering if Shane Wright is a good little cash cow to sit on his bench. Is his position secure, or do we have any concerns? I mean, he's played 80 minutes in his last starts, both for really good scores. Looks a very likely player. It looks to be there on merit. They've got Cohen Hess on the bench there, but I don't think the coach minds playing Hess as a bit of an impact player there. So, yeah, I can't see any job security issues too much. Scoring well, price just over 400,000. If he fits the bill, then, yeah, I can't say why not.
Yeah, and he could be a really good draft choice as well for your interchange.
Yeah, especially if you've got a player that you're holding like an Arrow, or maybe you've got an Angus Crichton who's not putting up the numbers. You could bring in Shane Wright as an additional option to sub them in until they come good. It's a really good shout. So that's all for Instagram. We do have a couple on Facebook as well, so we'll jump into those now. So we've got Katie, who's looking to make the last trade to finalize her team, and she's tossing up DCE or McInnes. I like the upside of DCE, but the safety of McInnes is too hard to go past for me. Who would you be looking at?
I'd be looking at McInnes.
Okay, so we agree on that one. Katie, let us know who you lock in the end. The next question we have comes in from Peter, and it's a bit of a different one. He's asking, why do his fantasy players always get targeted and end up getting a HIA? Is this a conspiracy against him?
It's the fantasy gods.
Well, yeah, there you go. Maybe it's, the fantasy gods more so than a conspiracy. But I feel you, Peter. Sometimes I feel like there's a bit of a conspiracy against me as well. Honestly, I was pretty close to ringing Madge and asking, was the reason that he's taken the kick meters and general play kicking duties from Brooks to Benji because I bought him in? I was genuinely curious about that. So I feel you there, Peter.
Yeah, I think Brooks was on something like six consecutive 50-plus scores, and then we picked him up, and he hasn't even gone close to 15.
Well, I mean, a lot of people must have been thinking along the same lines. The guy that's coming first and has been for a number of weeks, shout out to the Stooges, been absolutely killing it. He bought in Brooks as well, so it'd be amazing if we could get his thoughts on how he's feeling about that as well. But hopefully it doesn't cost him, young Brooksy. Last question we've got comes in from Zachary, and he's about 10K short of making the trade he wants, bringing in Cook for Cherry. And he's asking, Is Cook a must, or could he get away with going with Jake Friend instead?
For me, Cook's a must.
Couldn't agree more. I'd be finding the cash there some other way. And he's got a second part to his question. He's looking at bringing in Turbo or Teddy. Can only go one. Which one for the run home? I think we've both agree it's Teddy.
Yep.
And also Turbo, although he had an amazing Origin series, he's been rested. That hamstring still, it is a factor. You have to consider it.
It scares me all the time.
It does. You're very concerned about it.
I was looking at Nathan Brown yesterday as a potential buy, and I was just thinking last year all over again.
You're just thinking about that pec.
Yeah, and I couldn't trade him in. So
ready to go anytime.
I'd be out of those two, definitely Tedesco, and that would be the thing that swayed me, really.
Well, I hope that helps you out there, Zachary, and everyone else who sent through a question. Before we finish up, Liam, we'll just close things off with your trades and your captain this week.
So my trade outs are Herbert, and we've got Watson. I nearly forgot. And my trade ins are Tuamanga as well as Teddy.
Huge. You finally got him. Are we going to have a beer actually to celebrate that? It's taken you.
Yeah, I'm getting the wife to bring me a cake up now. No, but yeah, so I've got him finally. And my captain options for this week, I'm still, as you know, I always toss up between two or three and make the decision on Thursday afternoon, an hour before kickoff. But it will either be Smith, Cook, or Haas.
Okay, so playing it pretty safe with the captain still.
I'm playing it safe just because considering my rank.
Yeah, absolutely. So you haven't asked me, but I'll tell you anyway.
Yep.
For me,
sorry, I'm a bit selfish, as you know.
No, for me, it's getting Brooks out of my side. And whether that's swinging Kalen Ponga into the halves and bringing To'o onto the bench, or trading him to someone like Bateman or Nathan Cleary, it's yet to be seen. I'll make a last-minute panic trade, I'm sure. And for captaincy, I could be going Smith again, or Haas. He's also come into consideration, but a bit of a smoky. I like James Tedesco after a rest, so we'll just have to see if I've got the steel to do it.
Well, the tempting thing is for me, after making these two trades, I've only got two left until round 25.
Wow, okay. That's so, well and truly in the danger zone.
Yeah, we'll see how we go.
Good luck. And good luck to all you guys as well over the weekend. Make sure you shoot us a message. Let us know how your round's traveling. And we'll chat to you next week.
Good luck, guys. Talk to you next week.